Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Big things are happening, baby. Big things, exciting things, and I'm excited for what the future is going to bring us, no doubt about it, including an infrastructure, $100 billion artificial intelligence infrastructure investment. Wow. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It is a busy Tuesday afternoon. It's going to be busy. It's going to be a busy week. And it's probably going to wind up being a busy couple of years for us because that seems to be the way things go on this show. And it seems to be the way things go when Donald Trump is president of the United States. He just gets right to action and he doesn't mess around. He wants to do things and he wants to do things very, very quickly. You know, his entire point here is he wants to get things done and he wants to make sure that he has a lasting legacy. You know, some people will just ride this out, but that's not the kind of guy he is. So there you go. As far as the media reaction to things, look, one of the things I loved back in the day was the overreaction of the left and the absolute meltdowns and the crying and the gnashing of teeth. So we'll get used to that and we'll have a lot of that going forward. But a great guy, a great friend of the show, and a man who is very happy today. And it's a pleasure, it's an honor to welcome back to the show my friend and yours, New Jersey's own Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Congressman, how are you today?
Rich, I'm great. Great to be on with you.
Hey, thanks for making time today. I know how busy you guys are today on Capitol Hill and yesterday. Did you have fun at the inauguration?
It was fun. It was a great day. It was a great day for America. You know, he embodied and spoke about all the things that you and I, and most of all our listeners, the hardworking people of the United States of America, breaking their back every day to make a living and try to make ends meet. And it's the things we wonder about, the things that were happening, the money where we were spending it, what we were doing, you know. I always bring this one up, but there's hundreds, there's thousands of ways we spend money. You know, we're spending money on, you know, through hormones and surgeries, creating transgender monkeys. I mean, and it goes, and that's just one thing. The list goes on and on. And, you know, people just sit back and they say, what are we doing? This doesn't make sense. And, you know, even when he said, and I'm going to say it, I don't care what people do in their bedroom, as long as you don't make me pay for it and don't force it on my kids. But don't have men competing in women's sports.
Yep.
There is a difference between the sexes. There is male and there is female.
Yes.
And within that, everybody can find their appropriate lifestyle. I get it. I don't want to hurt or harm anybody. But the weird stuff with the pronouns and people thinking, kids thinking they're cats and changing their names and deciding, you know, when they're little kids that they can change their sexual orientation. I mean, it's just bizarre. Yet, you know, when you speak out about it, people say, oh, you're either a racist or you're misogynist or you're this or that. No, nobody's hating anybody. We just want the weird, bad stuff to stop. And that goes to everything that's going on. It doesn't make sense. It's weird to leave your borders open. It's dangerous. Stop Yep. doing that. It didn't make sense in the military when men and women who really couldn't get the vaccine for different reasons were forced to, or if they wouldn't, were removed from the military. They were expelled and then not allowed to come back in after it was all over. It just didn't make sense. What we're doing with energy, the wind turbines made no sense at all, relying on foreign countries. It was awful. And I won't go into that because that would take a half hour alone, thank God. And that was a big day for me. I've been fighting that fight for 6 years. And in the beginning, I was kind of alone. I was in the wilderness. And certainly everything came around and people understood what it really meant. And the president kept his word to me and he kept his word to the people so many different ways. It was an American rebirth. A golden age is about to happen for America. And Rich, the last thing I'll say here, it's not going to be easy. It is going to be bumpy. It's going to be a rocky road. They're going to open the gates of hell and accuse us of all kinds of things. And sometimes even within our own party, it's not going to be smooth. But God Almighty, we're at least going to be trying to fix this because America is worth it.
So well said, my friend, Congressman Jeff Van Drew. So well said. And yeah, it's been a long fight to get here for you personally. 6 years of, I would really say, leading the charge here against these wind turbines off the Jersey Shore. 6 years of changing political parties. 6 years of having Donald Trump come into Wildwood for you, not just once, but twice. And 6 years of working up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Many people don't even know. I mean, you've traveled up and down the coast to bring attention to this matter to different states and work with lawmakers in different states on this. Town hall after town hall, community meetings after community meeting, advocacy on this issue. And thank God the president won so he was able to do this. So I'll ask you now, in the package of executive orders, can we sit here confidently today and say that it is good riddance, farewell, the windmill project, the turbines, it's over, baby?
I believe that it does, and this is why I do. There's two major parts to this. One are the existing leases that the federal government under Obama and Biden granted. They gave them great discounts. They gave them great deals. They made deals for wind that they would never make for traditional fossil fuels like oil and gas. The oil and gas, they have to jump through hoops, and they should. I have no problem with that. But those same hoops should have applied to the wind turbines as well, which present all kinds of problems. But here's the deal. We had to make sure not only that we were, you know, going to evaluate granting future leases and, you know, really uncover all the issues that exist with that, all the dangers, et cetera. But we had the leases that were already done, and those represent hundreds of windmills that could go in place. So the part of the executive order that I worked on with my staff, my team, you know, I'm going back in history a little bit, not far, about a month ago, spoke to the president about that. He was the president-elect now the president, and he said, Jeff, get me an executive order. And we did within 48 hours. The section that deals with existing leases is pretty much from whole cloth from what we produced in our office because we wanted to deal with both. So they have to evaluate how those leases were given. What were they done? Was it totally legal? Was it totally appropriate? Did it make sense as far as national security, as far as fishing, as far as whales and the wildlife in the ocean? Did it make sense for the ratepayer? Just to mention a few things that I just mentioned. So through the Secretary of Interior designate, who will be the Secretary of Interior shortly, with whom I've spoken, and the person that will be his deputy and others with whom I've spoken, we were able to talk out these issues. Then they ran with it. That's their job. I'm not a cabinet member official, nor did I want to be. I love being a congressman. But, you know, that was their job. But they were so good. The president kept his word. And originally we talked about the idea of maybe doing this like in a week or two or three and having an event. And the president called on that one. He said, you know what? We can't wait. We got to get this done now. Mm-hmm. So I can't. What it does is it can't legally just say we're killing them. What it says is we're going to have a stop of any progress on them, whether new leases or existing leases, for months and months while we go through all of the evaluation that needs to take place over the subjects I just talked about. And then when we come to a conclusion, then another decision will be made by the president. I fully expect, totally expect, that they're going to uncover all the things that were done were wrong, how these things were pushed through, all the problems that exist, all the problems that will be created, and his decision will be, we're not doing this. This is not good for the country. So I think we're in good shape. It is a great day for the Jersey Shore. It's a great day for the ocean. It's a great day for the ratepayer.
And Congressman, first of all, that's fantastic news that you wrote that executive order that ultimately was turned over to the president for his final, of course,
yes.
A piece of it. Absolutely. National security component. You brought it to our attention. There's a major national security component here that not a lot of people have talked about. Is that going to also be one of the things that they factor in as they look into this project?
Absolutely. Number one, you're relying on foreign countries for energy. That's a big mistake. Mm-hmm. Number two, and we know this to be true, even though they weren't allowed to say anything, but if offline, you spoke with the Coast Guard or spoke with some folks in the military, they said they really have worries about this with radar. Our radar is not as good as it should be as it is. You know, going over to drones with the drone issue, which the president's got, I'm really anxious to hear what he's going to find out because he's the president of the United States and he has access to information that we don't, even in Congress.
Right.
But even with the drones, they have something that is called frequency skipping, that advanced drones and some of these autonomous drones, which we're a decade behind under, this administration, we have fallen so far behind in drone technology and UAS technology. That's not acceptable. China has drone ships and they are called motherships. So does Iran, has three of them. Just got another 1,000 lethal, some of them are lethal drones from China. I mean, come on. So, we can't even, through the radar that we have, a lot of it, be able to access where these drones are when they are in the air because they can do frequency skipping, which means they keep changing their frequency. We're America, man. We lead. We set the way. We're in charge. We're the best. We're the strongest. And for us to be like, oh, we don't know what to do because our radar won't even, that's unacceptable. And that's what this change represents as well. So I think we're going to do much better here. But yeah, the radar is interfered by these 1,000-foot structures, over 1,000 feet tall, hundreds of them. Absolutely, it's going to interfere with radar and make things more difficult. So that's another good reason why we don't want them.
Congressman Jeff Andrews with us today. It's great to have him on the show the day after the inauguration and already such progress being made on some of these very, very key issues. Congressman, the border has been something you've been very outspoken about. New Jersey now, a border state like so many other states. But you've talked about the homeland security implications of this. Where do we stand on that? Where are we looking right now on really day one, official day one of the administration? Because yesterday was a half day, but already Trump said the president set the ground running. So,
absolutely. So, the president's made it clear. He made it clear in the campaign. He made it clear yesterday. He will make it clear tomorrow that this is unacceptable. No nation with open borders ever prevails in history. It just doesn't. This was, I don't want to be mean-spirited, but honest to God, this last administration, it was, instead of making America great again, it was making America weaker again. Instead of MAGA, it was MAWA. I mean, it just, it's crazy, the things they would do, everything, whether it was with energy, whether it was with spending, whether it was what they're doing with our schools, with our military, it was just all awful. And the border is just the most striking, visible example of it. And folks on the other side, some of them would argue with you. So I'm on, the Judiciary Committee. In fact, I now chair the Oversight Committee of Judiciary, and we're going to dig into a lot of stuff. Hold on to your hat. But in any event,
congratulations.
Thank you. But and I want to thank Tom McClintock, who's the chair of the subcommittee on immigration. He's done a wonderful job in bringing this all out. And I am on that committee as well. And just, my God, the things you would hear, the murders that were committed, the rapes. Some of them were kids. So it's just brutal disfigurements, mutilation. I really, it makes me sick to my stomach. And we could have prevented some of this. So I have legislation which is going to be incorporated now into the Laken Riley bill, which is going to incorporate a couple other bills, including mine, which said, my particular bill said, you commit an offense, a violent offense against a police officer, you're going to be detained and deported. And that goes along right into the Laken Riley Act, into the other offenses that you're detained and deported. You've already broken the law. You're here illegally. Mm-hmm. But that's not only bad enough. Then you go ahead and you decide that you're going to break the law again and commit violence or do something or go after a police officer or go at this poor young woman, Lake in Raleigh, in a sanctuary city, God almighty, what happened to her? You know, I don't want to upset people listening to the radio, but when, I mean, not only was she murdered, she struggled for almost a half hour to not be raped, and he kept beating her and beating her. She was unrecognizable, crushed her skull in. This individual is a piece of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, he was evil. And how anybody on the other side in any way can defend that. So all we said was he was already caught with a previous offense where he was stealing from a store and doing some other things. So we said, look, once you break the law, you're deported, man. You're out of here. And that should be. Whether it's a more minor offense or, well, the other side will say you could get confused. It might be somebody, you know, it could even be somebody who's legal. If they're legal, we're going to have due process. Nobody said there wouldn't be due process. If they're legal, they're going to be released for some reason. If they got caught up, they're going to be careful on who they arrest and who they deport. The bottom line is they're trying to make it out like good Americans, whom I love, Hispanic Americans, so hardworking, paying their taxes, breaking their back, love America. We're not going to hurt them. Obviously, they're mad about what's going on well. But we're going to go after people who are on the terror watch list, who is still snuck in. We're going to go after people who committed crimes in the country of origin. We're going to go after people that committed crimes in this country. We're going to go after people who are living in schools and apartment buildings and creating damage there and doing harm. Yes, the people that are bad people. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to go. They're going to make it like if you're an immigrant that, you know, we're going to have these bootjack, you know, people coming in, and the jackbooted guys are going to come in and just take you and haul you away like it's some kind of Nazi thing. No, we're not. No, they're not. We're just going to make sure that these bad people who shouldn't be here aren't here. Final thing. You know, when we have these great debates in judiciary, they try to prove and say, well, it's only a small number. It really isn't that many people. Rich, if it's one human being, if it's one Lake in Raleigh, or if it's one, I can give you a list of them. Mm-hmm. They're never coming back. Their brothers and sisters will never know them. Their mothers and fathers won't see them completely grow up. Her mother, Lake and Riley's mother, was calling and calling and calling because she talked to her daughter every single day, and she was calling her and was scared that the worst might have possibly happened, and it did. We've got to make this right. It should have never happened.
Yeah, and the other aspect of this, too, is the kids. I mean, 320,000 children who are missing, as you've pointed out before on my show, and you've pointed out nationally. We've got to find these kids, and we've got to deal with a broken system that has enabled these children to go into, God only knows, unimaginable circumstances.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, and by the way, another good piece of this, the drug cartels are terrorists. They're bastards. These are bad people. These are really evil people that must be removed at the very least. And if they've done real harm, I don't want to pay to incarcerate these people for 30, 40, 50 years,
no,
quite honestly. They didn't belong here to begin with, you know? But these are really, really bad people. And there's drug trafficking and human trafficking and sex trafficking. And in some of these countries that they're coming from, like China, there's even organ harvesting. I mean, it's unbelievable. People don't realize what we're dealing with here. America needs to be strong. We're, you know, true story. I really want to share this with you and the listeners. You know, driving around yesterday, going to the events, getting to the inauguration, I was in a taxi talking to a guy, great guy from Ethiopia, came here legally, working his ass off. While working, he driving the vehicle and picking people up and dropping them off, all the stuff that you do. While he was doing that, though, also studying and became an architect in America. And he said because he had nothing. Only in America does this happen. Not only did he become a legal, not illegal, a legal citizen, works his butt off, but because he works hard, because he was legal, because he was doing good work, he got scholarships, so he was able to become an architect, and now he's going for his master's degree, and he's still working multiple jobs to make it. He's with us. this young Ethiopian man is with us. That story, I swear to God, I said, you made my day, because sometimes I'll share with you, I'm in these internal circles of politicians and they start talking about things and parsing words and not saying it how it is. This is what it's about. That's what America's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, and before you run, I got to ask if you have a minute, the president's executive order on ending this nonsense of equity, because what you just said is so true, Congressman Van Drew. We're about equality of opportunity, and that's the American spirit. Excuse me. But the idea of equity where everybody, no matter what, gets the same at the end. That's not America. That's not the American spirit. And it's time to move on from that. And I'm glad to see companies and corporations getting in on this now and finally and ending the DEI nonsense and ending this ESG nonsense. So we can get to a place where hard work and perseverance and grit, like that gentleman you just mentioned, that will win out in the day. And not boxes that people have to check anymore on forms.
You're so right, Rich. You expressed that so succinctly. Exactly right. We are a meritocracy. We are colorblind and should be. And we're not. Then somebody should get in trouble, which means that whatever color you are, we say this over and over again, but it's true. Whatever color, whatever race, whatever creed, whatever you are, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, if you are working hard, if you're giving it your best, if you love America, if you are doing the job that you should be doing and succeeding, you should do well. And you can do well. That's what this young gentleman, this Ethiopian that I met, really represented. I had a fascinating conversation with him. It made me feel so good that our America's still here. And you know what he said? He said, there's no other country like this. You know what he told me? I didn't even know this. I should. I'm a U.S. congressman. In Ethiopia, they choose what your job's going to be and what your profession is going to be. Huh. They didn't want him. They didn't think he should be an architect. His cousin was an architect for years, and he admired his cousin, and it was his dream to be an architect. And in America, you live your dreams. But in Ethiopia, you're told what you're going to do, and that's most of the world. We don't have that freedom that we have here. And, you know, we're ruining it when you put in place globalism and say that we're the same as every other country. And that was another thing that Trump did that was great. He basically, you know what he's expressing about Mount McKinley, and even when he talks about the Gulf of America, the greatness of America. We built the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Whatever you think about the issue he's talking about, we lost almost 40,000 individuals there.
I didn't know that. I couldn't believe that when he said that in his inauguration address. It's amazing.
Rich, read about the Panama. I suggest all your listeners read about the Panama Canal. It was horrible. They died of disease. They died of accidents. But it's America. We work harder. We do better. We're stronger as we lead the way. So we build the Panama Canal. It's our canal. And I was just very young at the time. But I remember when, in all honesty, President Carter gave it back, gave it away to Panama. And I said, look, God, that sounds kind of stupid to me. Come to find out now that China's really controlling it. And yet it's our men and women that died building the damn thing and put the money into it. That's wrong. That's what President Trump is expressing. Americanism, American exceptionalism, as opposed to globalism. Rich, this is what I'll leave you with at the end here. That's what this whole fight is about. Are we a unique experiment? Are we a gift from God? Are we blessed? Are we something like this world has never seen before in history and never will see again? Or are we just the same level of mediocrity like everybody else? That's what DEI is, just checking boxes. That's not what we are. We're like working harder, struggling more, doing better. And it doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, how much money you got. I believe in that.
Well said. Bravo. Congressman Jeff Van Drew, thank you, my friend. Great work. And I expect to talk to you a lot in the months and years to come. So best of luck. And thank you for your time today, my friend.
My pleasure, Rich. Thank you for getting the word out to so many good people. It's only through newsmakers like you, outlets like you, where we can really get the truth out, because you're going to see, and I warn everybody in this, you're going to see and hear a lot of things about how terrible everything is and how mean-spirited and how wrong. That's not the deal. That's not the real thing. It's folks like you that tell the truth that make the difference. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go fight.
The Rich
Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. It's 2025, and we got a lot to be happy about, a lot to smile about, so make sure you got that smile you deserve. President Trump is set to speak soon on AI and infrastructure. We'll bring it to you live when it happens. We got a big show for you still to come. We're just really getting warmed up here, so don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so we're waiting President Trump to speak from the Roosevelt Room of the White House. In the meantime, a story just broke that Pete Hegseth's ex-sister-in-law testified to senators that he was abusive to his second wife. A woman once married to the brother of Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary nominee, submitted a sworn statement to the Senate in a late-hour complication, to his confirmation. His attorney denied her account. So we'll follow that for you. It's from the New York Slimes. So we shall see. My hope is that he has the votes. My hope is that he gets in there and gets in there very, very quickly. But obviously there are Republicans who oppose him because he's not a warmonger. So, you know, they're going to keep digging up dirt. That's just the way it is. Rubio got in there because he's a senator and he plays the game. And so it was unanimous. And Hegseth, well, I mean, look, it doesn't matter what you do. It matters if you play the game or not. Truly, that's what it comes down to, as I've said to you how many times now, right? I was mentioning to you earlier today that Count Grandstangelis Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band was having a tough time justifying Biden's pardons on the way out the door yesterday. And Cory Booker, the New Jersey senator, making absolutely no sense whatsoever. We started to play this earlier in the show today, but we had some audio problems, but I think they're fixed now. On CNN with Caitlin Collins, struggling to make any sort of semblance of a cohesive thought here. They're all trying to justify Biden's pardons. That's why, I mean, spare me the gnashing of teeth and the pearl clutching over the January 6th protesters who and rioters. I mean, 4 years now, these people have paid a price. They paid a major price. But I also don't think that they deserve to die in prison here. But nevertheless, these preemptive pardons that Joe Biden did for people that weren't even charged with a crime, preemptively pardoning them, and also his family members. And this is Senator Count Grandstangelis Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band trying to somehow explain this away. Cut 21.
Get you to respond to this, because what I'm already hearing from people who work for Trump and are his allies is that there's really no leg for the Democrats don't have a leg to stand on, because President Biden leaving today, you know, issued a raft of pardons, including for his own family members and his sister and his brothers and their spouses. And then also for an activist, an elderly activist who is convicted of killing two FBI agents. Chris Wray did not even want him to commute that sentence that President Biden did today. They say that that doesn't give Democrats an argument here to criticize these pardons. What is your response to that?
I mean, I think that's the mistake we're seeing now, is people trying to reduce this to tribalism. This is not about Democrat or Republican. You know, Joe Biden pardoned a lot of people. Yeah, he should answer for that and explain what he did and his reasoning. But the people he pardoned, his family members, did not, before the naked public eye, beat police officers, try to overthrow our government, lead to the death of police officers, and have injuries, scars, both visible and invisible, on police officers that are still affecting their lives today.
I don't think that answers the question. The question here was, doesn't it kind of set the stage for Trump to go in there and pardon people when Biden, on his way out the door, pardons his corrupt family members? Like, just criticize him for that. You can criticize, but I mean, he's not even president anymore. Just criticize him on that point if you want. And you go, I don't want to make this partisan. But then that's literally exactly what you just did. You literally just made it partisan. I'm just pointing that out, Senator. We have a number of different things here that I got to get to. There's a whole bunch of stuff I want to try to squeeze in here. Let's see here now. Peter Ducey. Oh, I played that one for you. Peter Ducey to Trump. Jeff Van Drew mentioned this earlier, the drones. Are we going to get some answers on the drones? How soon will we get answers on the drones? Hopefully ASAP. I'd like to know. I think you'd like to know. I think we'd all like to know. Cut number three.
I would like to find out what it is and tell the people.
And can you commit to some kind of...
In fact, I'd like to do that. Could we find out what that was, Susie? Okay. Yeah, why don't we find out immediately? I mean, I can't imagine it's an enemy or there would have been, people would have gotten blown up all over. Maybe they were testing things. I don't know why they wouldn't have said what it was. They had a lot of them flying over Bedminster, which is interesting.
Maybe we'll find out. Now, Booker said that cops died on January 6th. No cops died on January 6th. That's a lie. Officer Brian Sicknick had a stroke days later, which the Capitol Police ruled that he died of natural causes. Look, I'm not justifying the behavior of people who beat and fought with cops, but they did pay a price. I mean, they did, unlike a lot of people in the Summer of Love in 2020 who had, nothing happened to them. These people did pay a price. They went to prison. And they also paid fines. They also had to pay for lawyers. Like it hasn't been just roses since January 6, 2021. I mean, it's 4 years later, and you could argue that all of these people's lives, they've all paid a price for their actions that day. And some have paid a price that they absolutely just simply did not deserve because they did nothing wrong other than quote unquote trespass. And I found it ironic yesterday when Senator Amy Klobuchar said, this is the people's house. Well, if it's the people's house, how can the people be trespassing if it's the people's house? But I noticed that when Amy Klobuchar said that, when Senator Klobuchar made that point. The other point, too, that I'll make is that Lincoln pardoned Confederate soldiers, generals, commanding officers, because he wanted to just turn the page. With malice towards none, charity towards all. So, you keep hearing about how January 6th was worse than the Civil War or the worst day since the Civil War. Well, Lincoln, who, of course, is revered, literally pardoned the people who were in the actual Civil War fighting the United States of America. And I don't think anyone on January 6th was part of the Confederacy. Like, it was a bad day, but the people have all paid a price. It hasn't been like they've been sipping on wine and roses and waiting for charges to happen at some point. No, that's the Biden family. They've been sipping on wine and roses, awaiting a day of charges, and those charges will never come now, since Biden all preemptively pardoned them. Here's Professor Jonathan Turley talking about the DOJ's treatment of many of the January 6th rioters and trespassers. Cut number seven.
Well, the Department of Justice really made the case for these pardons, and it was hard to do because most of us supported the people responsible for the riot being held accountable. It was a terrible day. But the Justice Department unleashed one of its top lawyers called a shock and awe campaign, and they just scooped up hundreds of people. They often demanded really excessive sentences, in my view. Most of these people were charged with just trespass or unlawful entry. Most of them were not violent. The government tended to oppose bail. They kept a number of them for a very long time in segregation. In some cases, they demanded limitations on what people could say or read or associate after they were released. All of this tended to undermine their case. And so when the president campaigned on this issue, I think a lot of people wanted to see this chapter closed. And he certainly did that. I mean, this was broader than most people expected or even asked for.
In addition to that, there's a game the government always plays with people, which is cop to a plea, and we'll give you a lesser jail sentence, a lesser thing. So, you get somebody whose crime that day was walking through the Capitol Rotunda, and now they have to plead guilty to trespassing. Well, that's a federal offense now. They really didn't do anything, but they don't have the money to fight the United States of America. They're not going to win. It's a D.C. jury. So for a lot of these people, they pled guilty to get a lesser sentence, but they still wound up doing prison time. And no civil libertarians were out there advocating for these people. You know, in all the talk of criminal justice reform, and I think I've been probably one of the most consistent voices in all of talk radio on the idea of criminal justice reform. I've been a supporter of the First Step Act. I've been a supporter of criminal justice reform my entire time on the radio. So I would say I'm one of the most consistent voices on this of maybe anybody in the world of conservative talk radio. Where were the civil libertarians for the treatment of people who were accused of the crimes on January the 6th, who were denied counsel, who spent months without access to legal counsel, for example? Like, nobody gave a damn about them. And not everybody received a pardon or a commutation yesterday. And the other part about this, too, is that you had journalists like Steve Baker, who was scooped up that day, and his life was made a living hell. And I didn't hear, not only did I not hear civil libertarians in the ACLU, I didn't hear people in the press corps come to the aid in the defense of their brethren, their brother-in-arms, Steve Baker from The Blaze, who was arrested and charged and had his life ruined for doing nothing but reporting on the events of January the 6th. Look, two things can be true at the same time, right? You can say that you were very, very offended by what took place that day. You can say what took place that day was wrong, and also say that the charges and the prosecution were over the top. Two things can be true at the same time. You can say that the actions of many people that day were uncalled for, while also saying that the actions by the government in response to that were uncalled for. But you have to. But the people of the United States made a choice here. Trump didn't hide this. He said he was going to do this, and the American people voted for him. So you could argue that the American people then served as the ultimate jury in this case by saying that they wanted this chapter of American history to be closed. Now, it's never going to be fully closed. And for a lot of these people, that will always haunt them. They've lost many people that day, lost their careers, lost friends and family members over this in terms of just and their reputations. Now, it's not as simple as just simply saying, well, you're pardoned or your sentence is commuted, like it never happened. There's the real life, the real world here. And then there's the actions of the January 6th committee, which, you know, Biden preemptively pardoned members of the January 6th committee. But there's real accusations that they destroyed evidence. They knowingly destroyed evidence, which is the actual definition of interfering with a public proceeding, which is the law that was adapted after Chevron, or excuse me, the case, the hell's the case that I'm thinking of, Matt, and my mind's like working at the moment. You know the case I'm thinking of.
Did
the
you say Chevron deference? Is that what
you're
saying?
Not Chevron. No, the case with the interference of a public, you know, proceeding, official proceeding. Enron, not Chevron, Enron. You weren't paying attention. Never mind. Go back to doing whatever it is the hell you were doing. You're not paying attention. It doesn't matter.
I was about to send you a text message and note that Liz Cheney specifically had been accused of tampering with a Jan 6 committee witness.
Yes. And witness tampering as well. But if you destroy documents, that's literally what the Enron case, the official proceeding thing, that's the charge. That literally was what that was, the result of Enron. Because they were shredding documents, remember? Never mind. Go back to what you were doing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't go back to whatever. What are you doing?
I was just sending you a text message. I don't know the law. I'm not an attorney.
The hell with it. Doesn't matter. By the way, Dave Portnoy is saying the government is cutting the legs out from TikTok users, and he's right. So we got a 75-day reprieve for TikTok. Good. Good. I want to hear that. Now, DeSantis, don't go away. Don't run away.
Oh, man.
Sorry. What are you going to say?
I was going to throw something out about Portnoy. I saw the other day that he made, I think he doubled his money. He went from $500,000 that he invested in Trump coin, sold it, got $1 million in return, and then he bet that $1 million on the Bills to win the Super Bowl at 5-1, I think.
Wow. He's also showing an awful lot of chest hair right now on the Will Cain show on Fox News.
That shirt's wide open, yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, maybe button that up.
I don't like it.
Like 1975 here or something going on there. I don't know if we need that.
No, we do not.
But at least he's talking about the fact that, TikTok is should be allowed to stay, and people like little Mark Zuckerberg are the ones who are profiting off of this. But Jon Stewart mocking John Fetterman yesterday was the favorite, my favorite moment of comedy from yesterday. Did you enjoy this, DeSantis? Because I know you enjoyed Jon Stewart making fun of the New Jersey congressman at the amazing, groundbreaking age of 38.
Yeah, the Fetterman stuff is genuinely very funny.
Cut number 10.
And Fetterman was, are you, come on! Fetterman! Really? Shorts? It's not even an inaugural decorum thing. It's freezing out there. It's a health concern. Fetterman is literally America's teenage son. It's your grandma's funeral. I told you I don't like long pants.
Now, first of all, this is my 10-year-old son. I have this battle with Patrick every day. He doesn't want to wear a winter coat, and he likes soft pants, which are basically sweatpants or like Adidas pants. And that's the best we can get out of him. So now the new thing is now he wears shorts over tight, like not tights, but, you know, like whatever the athletes wear. And he wears shorts over that. That's the best we can do at this point with him without having a fight every friggin' morning. And he looks to Fetterman now as his inspiration. A freaking United States senator. He's like, Dad, how come I got to wear long pants if he doesn't have to wear long pants? I said, buddy, it's cold out. He's like, Dad, he's a senator. I know. And that's the inauguration. You're just going to school. Frustrating. No doubt about it. Anyway, Steve Baker, I'll play you that when I come back. Let me tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. My guy, my man, the master of dental implants. You got to think about your smile. You got to think about giving yourself a beautiful smile that the world's going to see and light up a room. We have so much to be grateful for and so much to be happy about in the next 4 years. Well, start 2025 off right. 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike Veneria has been named a master of dental implants among his peers. So do what so many people have done and reach out to him for a free implant consultation. And if you've had a second opinion, or if you've had an estimate, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike and do it today. Look, Mom is the only discovered him for our family, and he is my family dentist. And yes, I go to him. People ask all the time, does Rich really come here? Yes, I go to Dr. Mike. I'd never lie to you. He will give you the smile that you deserve. And if you have to drive a little bit, it's worth the drive. Don't go to the closest dentist. Go to the best. And it's Dr. Mike. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Just go to VenariaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. All right? Do it today. Make your appointment. Get that beautiful smile that you deserve. Dr. Mike Veneria, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What's going on with you today, Justin? What is it? What's happening today?
It's cold. It's just another day in Justin Land. You know how it is.
You just expressing your angst through music?
I wouldn't say that.
No?
I'm not playing anything. Like, too angsty today, at least I don't think.
It's a little angsty. I don't know. I mean, it sounds a little angsty. Is it cold? Is that why you're cold out? You know, you're feeling shivery?
I mean, it is
chilly.
18 degrees outside, and that's not even including the wind chill.
No, it's brutal out there. It's Brennan. You know, I had to hobble on my crutches today to get into Fox News and go through the snow, and that was freaking cold. So at 6:30 in the morning, the car came and picked me up. Brutal.
And you had to deal with being in New York City, too? Ugh.
I did. You know, the car comes at 6:30, and then I got to the studio, and I had to kill time, and then I was on the set at 9:30, and the segment lasted for 3 minutes, and then I had the car drove me back to Cooper. It's like, I equate being on television to your first time in high school. Or college, or if you're married on your wedding night, it's your first time, whatever your first time is. There's a lot of build up, if you know what I mean. And then you're like, that's it.
Also, what a burden having to be picked up by Fox News in their luxury SUV and then dropped off in their luxury SUV. There are worse ways to travel.
No, and it was not easy. And they dropped me off in the front of the building on 6th Avenue because the 48th Avenue was closed. So I had to walk the longer way to get in and not the usual back way that most of the stars go in. So, yeah, it was not easy. You're right. It was. It was rough. So it was rough. And then I had the indignity of having to sit next to Dana Perino, literally sit next to her. I know.
How could they do that to you?
Yeah. It was not, you know, and then I was wearing a blue tie. Bill Hemmer was wearing a blue tie. It was awkward. Like, we coordinated, you know what I mean? It was awkward. So, and Dana had the audacity to tell me, great hit, loved your energy, and then I'm letting so-and-so know what a great job you did. So somebody high up in Fox, she was letting them know what a great job I did. How dare she, is what I say. How dare she?
That's pretty good.
And I told her the story of how I crashed my scooter into the Russian oligarch's SUV the other night. And he offered me a Turkish cigarette. And she said, did you take one? And I said, no. And then as I thought about it, I said, should I really have shared that story with Dana Perino? I'm not sure that I should have. And I asked Bridget her opinion. And Bridget said, no, you probably should not have shared that story with Dana Perino. There are some things better left unsaid. But nevertheless, she knows the story, Matt.
If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I think you share too much in general. I think you need to keep some things to yourself.
Well, I'm going to share the fact that my standing desk just went up a little bit because my wife came in and dropped off some pain meds. So let's get Dr. Feelgood going here. Here
we
go.
By the way, we do have audio of your appearance on Fox this morning if you'd like.
Do we really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dan Borowski managed to get it for us.
Dan Borowski, yeah.
Do we have video of it too?
No, we just have audio.
Oh, man, we should post that to Instagram. But you know who did post a little video is our buddy Juliana Freeman. She's awesome. I love her. She's so great. She's a great journalist, and she posts great stuff for us all the time, and she did today as well. She's the best. She's the bomb. Big fan. All right,
she's a Daily Caller?
Yeah, she writes for a bunch of different sites.
Yeah,
she's awesome. Mm-hmm. I know. And she's a member of the Zioli Army. And she tweeted out the link of me saying that whatever I said, I don't even know what I said. I have no idea. The buildup is so big, and then it's over, and you're like, that's it? That's all you got? Should we want to hear me talking about myself, or do you want to save that for the 5 o'clock nonstop talk? Why don't we do that? So it makes me happy to hear the sound of my own voice.
I do love that when you're on Fox News, I'll get a text message and you'll be like, hey, pull this clip. I said something good on Fox. And I always think to myself, it's you saying the thing. Why don't you just say it a second time live on WPHT? Why do we have to replay it? And I've come to a conclusion. You just like hearing yourself on Fox News.
I love hearing myself on Fox News. Let's be very clear. Oh, I love it. There's something so spectacular about it. I can't even explain it. They had a green room, and I raided it. I stole beef jerky from my son Patrick because he loves beef jerky. So I'm standing there in the green room loading my pockets with beef jerky, and there's none left for you, Will Kane. How do you like that? That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm looking at Will Kane's show right now on Fox News. He looks a little famished.
He does. It looks like he could use some beef jerky. Well, there's none left. I took all of it. It loaded both my pockets, looking around like Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places, like when he's in the Santa suit and he's just stuffing like a lobster and stuffing food. And that's what I was doing today in the green room, like free snacks. This is great. Look, you got to take what you can get. You know what I mean? They're not paying me, so I got to get snacks. All right. 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. We'll hopefully hear from President Trump at some point. Is this guy ever going to speak or what? It's day two, Mr. President. Let's go. All right. Let's get a move on here. 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.